Good morning, Gloucester. Yeah, there's Kim laughing. Kim's got to have her. See, she got it in. Sorry. What did I say?
Oh, don't jump.
What did I say? Don't Kim always jump. Has to have her voice present when we start the podcast.
Is that true?
There you go. Say it again.
I'll try.
Again.
I'll try. The only one here.
Oh, here we are. It's another beautiful Sunday morning. Freezing cold. The weather has changed. We're into fall officially. We have the Mrs. Grumpy Pants, Kim Smith.
Yes, here I am. Here I am again.
Mr. Effervescent, Toby Pat.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And Nicole Schraft, who's been bringing the heat with the children's family post on Thursdays. We had Kim Smith with a monstrous post that we got that achieved her a sticky status with the sticky at the top of the blog for her Monarch film. Did you see the Monarch film?
I saw part of it. Yeah,
That really isn't the Monarch film. That's a Monarch film trailer kind of thing.
I wanted to see the whole thing, but I wanted to see the part about Kim.
Thank you for watching, Toby.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Of course.
Now, the Cape Ann thing is something I've never seen, but the Mexico part was bananas.
Yeah, it was only the first 2 minutes that were done out of Eastern.
Right, but am I the only person that was blown away by the Mexico footage?
No,
it's amazing.
No, it is amazing. It's extraordinary to see. It's extraordinary. I only got to, I've been filming on Cape Ann for 3 years, the Monarch story. I only had 2 days of filming in Mexico, really. So, I mean, besides the day that we arrived.
How long do they stay? For anyone that hasn't seen it, I hope everybody's seen it. And if you haven't, go find it. But it looks like sheets and sheets and sheets of just butterflies attached to, what are they, attached to vines?
They're the beautiful oyamel fir trees are like an evergreen type of tree. And so they're on these evergreen branches, but the sheer weight of the monarchs pulls them down, and to the point where sometimes the branches snap off. And then the branch crashes down and the butterflies alight. But so they start arriving around the Day of the Dead, coincidentally around the Day of the Dead. So there's a lot in the Mexican culture about butterflies and how they symbolize spirits returning to the earth for the day. That's what the Day of the Dead
is. But it looks like the Mexico part in particular looks like it was computer-generated animation.
Okay. No. But it's not.
But it's not. But it's not.
And that is the beauty, and that's why it makes it really special that you you followed it all the way. And how far north did they start?
They start going up through the center of the country, and they go, some make it all the way to southern Canada. So it's like 4 or 5 generations making it up to
southern
Canada.
So northern Maine?
Northern Maine, Southern Canada.
Southern Canada.
Mm-hmm. And then, but it takes 4 or 5 generations to get all the way to Canada. It's one generation that starts in,
makes
the southern trek. And people always talk about it as 2,000 to 3,000 miles, but it really is almost 4,000 miles because they go all the way to Mexico. They spend the winter in a state of diapause. When they emerge, they become sexually active, but then they migrate another 1,000 miles to the first holdover position in Texas. So that one generation is the Methuselah monarchs, and they're the extraordinary ones that travel 2,000 to 3,000 miles and then another 1,000 miles to the first holdover position in Texas.
And there you go.
So
very nice. So when can we expect to see the finished product?
My hope and prayer is to be finished editing it by this summer. However, my daughter's getting married, so that is a whole
nother. And you said right now the film is 16 hours long? Was that what you said?
No, it's 12. It actually is like closer to 14. There's 12 sequences. Each one is about an hour long.
Which you have to cut down.
Right, I have to cut
good
down.
Luck with that.
Right, down to about 5 minutes for each sequence.
My suggestion was to make each, so that she has 12 hours. My suggestion was 12 time lapses out of each one of those segments, and you could get it right
and
down.
Then
it was just everything
like
would go.
Fastest butterflies in the world.
Done. See, that's easy.
Yeah, that's like bees. I'll try that.
I can get that shit done tomorrow. Hand me the footage. I'll get it done for you. Don't worry about it. And we'll do a Kickstarter campaign. $35,000. I'll get the editing done. We'll do a very comprehensive a website that everybody be able to talk to you, but it's going to cost $10,000 for that.
Interactive.
So people can talk to you, because you can't do that right now.
Free for $10,000.
Yeah, but we need to do our Kickstarter campaign. We'll start out with 35. Okay. We'll go for another 10 for the website.
Okay.
You
all
in?
Right. I'm in.
All right. But I want, yeah, and I'll do all the editing.
Okay. And you'll be in charge of all the social media, too.
It'll be all time lapses. Yeah. Just throw everything onto the computer.
That would be pretty funny.
And zip it through.
It would be pretty funny.
Boom. Well, speaking of Kickstarter campaigns, successful Kickstarter campaigns, we just left Colin Keegan was here. That kid is bananas. He's a special kid.
Yeah.
Mensa, what do you think?
Yeah. At least.
He's Mensa whatever's squared. Beyond.
He's Mensa cubed.
Right. But he's so, what's so sweet is he's so articulate. And so, yeah, you know, this he's kid is incredibly, incredibly articulate.
This kid has the sense of, he has the cadence and sensibilities of a 65-year-old
I mean, he can interact with, doesn't matter what age person, kids his own age or
adults.
Right. Love the confidence.
Right. Totally.
This kid is just going to do damage with the ladies when he gets old. Poor women, they don't have a chance. Because now, the cool thing is to be a nerd now. It isn't like, you know how everybody rails against football players and like you're the meat stick if you're a football player, and now the cool thing is to be a nerd?
Nerd, right.
Like, look at the success of the Clam.
Yeah.
The success of the Clam is because there's this whole generation of nerds that are turning the tables on the people that used to pick on them in high school.
Cool. Right.
Right? And so this kid right here is like the hyper, like cool nerd right. with all this confidence. It's just going to be, he should just get a vasectomy now and get it over.
No.
He should get a vasectomy. Just get it over. He's like, he's going to be in trouble if he doesn't.
Oh, no. I didn't see this going that route so quick, really.
You know who's driving the bus here.
It was an all-ages show until
I was just trying to block the picture in the corner.
Oh, the naked ladies in the corner? The tuppy?
I was just stretching like this.
Yeah. So, some business to take care of. We should have got this out in the beginning of the podcast. The podcast subscriber T-shirt giveaway. Super K picked the winner. It was out of the first 10 subscribers is Robert Lukacs. And Robert has been a fan of the blog for a long time, so congratulations to him.
Wow, that's a very cool T-shirt.
It is very cool. Very high quality, cool design. We're going to do another one. We'll do another one. What do I got? What kind of swag do I have to give away? What I got?
You got half a donut over there, Joey.
I got a half. The next 10 subscribers.
I got a quarter of a Bacon Brothers Brew donut
because we can't go a podcast without mentioning Brothers Brew Bacon Donut.
You know what? I have an idea because I was going to put something in the blog. I'm not trying to be self-promotey, but I was going to give away one of my books. For Chris, because people like giving
what is the name of the book?
Garden of Fresh Possibilities.
See, this reaches a whole different group. We had the athletic, the bikers last week.
What about your pate?
Old Garden. I don't think it'll last that long.
It's Old Garden of Fresh Possibilities. Notes from a Gloucester Garden.
Yeah. So people
like to give it away for Christmas presents. So even if you already have a copy,
it's like a $35, $40
of value. $35 book.
$35 book. So for the first 10 subscribers, that's starting from when the podcast airs. We'll select one of those 10 lucky people, and they have to pick up the book. Or are you willing to email it, to ship it to them? They can pick it up down the dock.
They can pick it up down at the dock.
It makes it easy, believe me.
Yeah.
So you'll have to pick it up down the dock.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Robert Lukacs, if you haven't, if you didn't listen to that first segment, you are the winner of the Rafa Supercross Gloucester T-shirt.
And we could also say, anybody bring your cool swag down.
Yeah, if anybody wants, we're going to do this every week. So if anybody has any swag, they want us to mention their organization or something, bring something for us to give away to people, and we'll promote your thing. This weekend was one of the first weekends of the 1,000 holiday fairs. Anybody go to holiday fairs over the weekend?
I'm sorry to say, we should have Donna here because
Donna went to like 15 of them.
I saw Donna's photos. Yeah. I was very impressed with the breadth and depth of her holiday fair.
Yes, coverage.
Experiences, yes.
It was awesome.
I didn't go to a single one.
Me neither.
You know how much I love Donna, right?
Yes.
This is my thing about Donna. My thing about Donna is she goes to all these events, right? And I tell her, because we pay for the hosting, it's up to $290
wow.
for the hosting.
Per year?
Per year, yeah. Wow. It just got bumped. So, because we just crossed another threshold of gigabytes of storage
that we need. Right.
So I tell her, don't hold back with your photo. Because she went to like 7 different fairs. But there was probably like 7 to 12 photos that she posted. And I know she's snapping away at these things. I tell her all the time, just dump all the photos into, like, you know, one of those photo albums that you can do.
Right.
So that, because we want everybody to get recognized. And, like, people, they love when they see their kid or themselves on the blog. That's what people love. They don't want to see us. They want to see them. They don't want to hear about us.
That's good to hear, because sometimes I feel bad. You know, when you have like 40 or 50, I'm trying to think of some of the events, like the Taste of Gloucester over at the cruise port. I had hundreds of photos.
Didn't I tell you, though?
You told me, but I remember being at the mile marker for their Harvest Fest or something. I think I just missed you that day. Donna was there, too. And same thing, I had like 95 photos. And I was like, who wants to see 95? But you don't have to see them if you don't want to. You can scroll through them.
No, because you know,
it's better to
make thumbnails.
Right.
That's all that gets shown is the thumbnails. You can click on them if you want.
And then they can click on. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So God bless Donna for getting to places that we haven't gotten to.
Right.
I appreciate that.
She really went to so many, and the coverage that the pictures
she has
that
three
she did.
Times the energy of all of us put together. That's
no question. What? Yeah, spitfire. Is there a word that better describes Donna Arizoni than spitfire?
Spitfire, that's awesome. A sweet spitfire.
Sweet spitfire. Yes, Kim. Sweet spitfire.
Oh, she's Joey.
Sweets. So I have to thank Toby Pett. Toby took me for dinner the other night at Passports for the wine dinner, but on top of the thanks that I want to give him for picking up my tab at Passports for the wine dinner, I want to thank him for giving me a life lesson. Because so we're sitting there at the bar because we're we were just there, us men at the bar. And who's that lady that we sat next to? Do you not remember her name? We
so
should
much
give a shout out to
the bar.
Sheila.
Sheila, yeah. Sheila, thank you for being my right hand dining guest and Toby, my left hand dining guest.
Yeah,
but here's the thing. When I go out to eat, it doesn't matter if I go to a really fancy restaurant or if I go to Destino's for the all-you-can-eat buffet. I eat like a dock worker. That's, you know, it's like the food is in front of me, and it's a race. It's to how fast can I get the food into my stomach, because I'm, you know, a working guy. And all you can think of, I think of food as sustenance. I love flavorful food, but Toby's like, slow down, because it's a wine dinner, so
wine
he says,
dinner,
take a sip. Let the air pass over your tongue so you can appreciate the food and appreciate the wine. So halfway through the first course, which is this poblano pepper stuffed with the rice and what else? Like cheese and stuff like that.
That was amazing.
It was very amazing. Oh, Kim was there too.
That was amazing.
So halfway through of me devouring, he says, slow down for Christ's sakes. And so I slowed down and I enjoyed the meal so much more. Mm-hmm. And instead of just like pounding my way through and forgetting about it. It's much more memorable now.
Nice.
So this is a lesson for people like pigs like me that slow down when
you're eating. It's not being a pig. It's just a habit of, how you... You know, I see how you eat down here at the dock.
Neanderthal. I'm a Neanderthal. Listen, it's become blatantly apparently with me with my love of football, because you're not supposed to love football anymore. I had a conversation with John McElhenney. He told me, I said, geez, I love watching boxing and thing that he goes, boxing is, I can't watch boxing. I'm like, what? You can't watch boxing? And he's like, oh, I'm such a Neanderthal. I grew up with these things, you know what I mean? And like, you know.
Well, as far as your eating goes, I mean, you're trying to get, like you said, some sustenance in between boats, loading boats with bait or unloading them with lobsters. So that's your habit. But I'm just saying, when you get some really good food and some good wine in front of you, slow down.
Yes.
That should be a new weekly segment, Life Lessons from Toby.
There you go. Has anybody had any? Kim was also at the.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think about the passports one year?
I could just kick myself because it was the first one we'd been to, and they've been doing it for 3 years. And it was just so awesome.
I think
awesome.
More than three.
Oh, more than three?
Yeah. I mean, it might be one. I think it's been a while.
He did a few here and there, but as a steady diet, I think it is three or four years.
Yeah, I think I was just saying what Lila told me or something like that. But I just love the three sisters that work there, Lila.
Oh, when you walked in, they nearly attacked you.
They're so sweet, and Sally. And it's just always such a positive, fun, enjoyable experience at Passports. On top of the fabulous food, and the wines were delicious too. Yeah. I really enjoyed the wines.
Not only are they our friend, but they really are professionals.
They
you know
are.
What I mean? The whole staff's so been sweet. Working in that industry for over, the combined, 1,000 years or whatever, and they just know what they're doing and they execute.
Don't you think it's extraordinary that three sisters work together in a restaurant?
Well, they're three special sisters.
Yeah,
they really,
really
have a lot of love for each other.
They're really nice.
Yeah,
I think it's just
Nicole, have you had any food or dining experiences you want to share with us from this past week? You're always out at the bars.
No, seriously.
Joey always teases
me. I don't want to ruin the buzz, Joey. No, we had a busy week. I have parent-teacher conference reports to write. We had Finn's little
You missed a couple of your time slots this week.
I did, and you said it was no problem, and now you're going to throw me under the bus. You're recording. That's nice. Let's see how you work. No, we were
publicly. Personally, behind closed doors, it's okay.
No.
But really, every time you miss a post, an orphan dies. It's true.
So you only let down
40,000 to 80,000 people a day that would look forward to your post.
Sure. I'm sure they're all the edge of their seat.
They're hanging at the 10 o'clock time slot. Nicole is going to post.
Although Paul's back, does that mean I lose my 10 o'clock?
No, I told him to take 2 o'clock, but he can't listen to directions.
He's
and
so funny.
Steps all over everybody's
back,
post.
I'm like, don't you be thinking you're taking the 10? No, I don't care when mine come through. Mine aren't very time sensitive. But.
No, I told him to take EJ's post slot because she hasn't been posting lately. Her mom's not doing so hot.
Right.
So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. We haven't done much this week. We went away on Friday night up to New Hampshire, and came back from our reunion. We're going to go back to New Hampshire. I told you our place is sitting empty for a few days, and we're going to go back up on Tuesday for Thanksgiving. We're leaving. We're leaving everyone for Thanksgiving this year.
Nice.
What do you mean you're leaving
everyone?
Well, we had we're going away. The boys and my husband and I are just going to go away, and maybe not even eat Thanksgiving dinner. I don't know what we're going
to
do. We have a little condo up in New Hampshire.
So
we're going to stay up there.
Before we get away from the Paul's back thing. it needs to be duly noted that when he announced for the 75th time that he's done with the blog 2 months ago, I said he'll be back within. What's the over under? I said 2.5 months. He'll be back, and I took the under.
Right.
Like clockwork, 2 months later, he's back.
Well, can I just say?
And did you see that? I tried to find the picture that I did of him. It was Cher in one of her fancy like flamingo outfits, the outrageous ones, and I put his face on it to show what a diva he is. I couldn't find the post to put the picture on. Welcome back, Polly.
When the first time that after I became a contributor and he did that. And then I'll never forget emailing you going, what's wrong with Paul? Is Paul okay?
And what did I say to
you? You said, oh, he does this all the time.
He does it all the time. He acts like he doesn't want attention. He never comes on for the podcast or anything like that. But he craves attention. He craves attention.
Is that it, or does he just
like a vampire craves fresh blood? He craves attention.
No, maybe he just needs a break from posting too.
No. He craves attention.
To get his
He is a welcome addition back because he brings a little bit of the edge.
We need that edge
to balance out the
The butterflies.
Which I love. Don't get me wrong.
You can say it. I know.
No, because some people freak out. You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're
saying. There's people that absolutely love the butterflies, but there's people that freak out if it's all butterflies 24/7.
Right.
And cooking. And flowers.
Right. And I don't blame them.
Yeah, no. That's totally legit. It's fair. So, okay, so now that we got the oh, thank you, Paul, for coming back. It wasn't the same without
you. We missed you, Paul. We really did.
The numbers went way down, Paul. The numbers, we were ready to shut it down. Shut it down! Shut it down! Paulie's gone! No. So thank you, Paulie, for coming back. You were missed. Not really, but yes, you were really missed.
Yes, you really were missed, Paul. You really were.
So let's talk about Thanksgiving. What's that? It's Thanksgiving plans? Oh, you have... Kim has her daughter coming home.
Yeah, I'm so excited. She's she couldn't get a flight until Thanksgiving Day, so we're picking her up at the airport at 6 o'clock at night, so we're having dinner at 8.
On Thanksgiving Day?
On Thanksgiving, but that's alright. It's alright. And we couldn't switch it because that's the only day my son has off, so we're just going to be eating at dinner at 8 o'clock at night. I don't mind. I'm so happy to have her.
I know you are.
And she's bringing some friends from Brooklyn, and...
she is the light of your life.
She is.
She is the light of... Every time you mention your daughter, you freak out.
Both my kids are.
No, Alex too, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But your daughter is like your soulmate.
We're like best friends too. So
Don't cry. She's tearing up.
And then she's staying...
You do it on purpose.
Yeah, she's staying through Wednesday. Listen, she's staying through Wednesday.
So do you have anything special planned? You got any exhibits?
Well, we're meeting with the caterers for a wedding. That's one thing. On Tuesday, and then Monday, after Thanksgiving, my friend Donna, who's here working on a Disney film, her husband and kids are flying in from LA, and so we're going to have another big Thanksgiving with all the kids and all our old, you know, rock and roll film friends from back in the day.
Oh, when you were a groupie.
Yeah, when I was a clothing designer.
Groupie. That's how you met your husband, the Atlantics, Tom Hawk.
That isn't how I met him. Being a groupie, that's not how I met him.
Okay.
I can tell you how I met him sometime. Not how I met him, though.
This is G show, Kim, please. Toby,
G-rated event.
What are your Thanksgiving plans?
Well, the last several years, I've gone up and joined a buddy of mine and a couple other orphans that we sort of assemble. And this is up in Maine. His work schedule is such that he can't go to his parents, and just the distance too much. And it's been fun. I mean, we did that. I think I showed you the pictures several years ago. We did the turducken from scratch. We know turducken's out now.
Well, that's my next question. I've been dying, but at the edge of my seat, can I ask you, is the turducken out still, or are you going to continue?
No, we're not going to do that. We did it.
See, it was a fact.
No.
How was it?
Oh, I mean, we had to debone. You have to debone a turkey, right, with the exception of the appendages. Right, and you do the same with the duck and the chicken. You put them inside, you layer them up with stuffing in between each layer, and then you sew the turkey back together so it looks like it's a normal turkey.
Wow, interesting.
But when you cook it, you can slice right through the entire thing because there's no bones.
And tell us how you cooked. Did you deep fry it, or did you?
No, we did it on the big green egg.
Okay.
Which, for those who know, it's a pretty special way to cook.
Yeah. They have knockoffs of the now that you can buy for a lot less money than the big green egg is like $600. It's a ceramic, basically what it is, it's a ceramic smoke, it's a smoker / you put charcoal in it.
Yeah.
It's going to hold
the
heat.
The full-blown model is going to cost you $1,000 or just over. And there's, I mean, you want to do things low and slow. I don't care. You can, choke it down so it only gets to about 200 degrees in there, or you can get a fire going that you could cook a pizza on it.
Yeah. I mean, so when you sliced it open, right, it must have been really pretty to see all the different layers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Kim, are you acting like this is the first time you've heard of turducken?
No, I wanted to hear how he did it because I've heard of deep frying them and things like that. Like Olivia had a. When she was in college, had a friend from Oklahoma, and that's all she talked about was turducken, because that's what they actually serve, was turducken.
That's what I'm saying. It was a come and go thing. It was like a fad.
Well, I don't know.
2 years and not
I don't know. There were a number of commercially available turduckens, okay, that people bought and just put in the oven. Oh, yeah.
They're already prepared.
Yes.
But in the South, it's not a fad. It's just a normal thing that a lot of people do in the South. Like, her friend Natalie was from Oklahoma. And so, in addition to this horrible green bean casserole that I had to make for, that's all we heard about was turducken.
You know, we started with the mirepoix and created a real stuffing from scratch.
Nice.
I mean, that was part of it, is the enjoyment of preparing it.
Mm. I could see that. Yeah. I'm just curious what this year's Thanksgiving. I still have not come down. One has said that
it's come up with something.
Joey, I'll send you pictures of what we've been bouncing around a couple thoughts.
We haven't. You know what we haven't done for a couple of years? We haven't done the send pictures of your Thanksgiving table in.
Oh, right.
We did the Christmas holiday. I've sent.
We
you.
Used to do this all the time.
Right.
And I gotta resurrect that and post everybody. Do a big post.
Glad I stimulated that.
So now that you do you get out of cooking, Nicole, because you're going away?
I always get out of cooking. I don't. I'm not. My mother is a phenomenal cook, and and my sister is also a great cook. I don't know where I went wrong. It's not that I'm a bad cook. It's just I just don't cook that often.
Kids are not going to eat turkey on Thanksgiving?
No, Freddie does a lot of cooking. Freddie likes to cook, and he always cooked for himself before we met. And he also, just our schedules, he gets home at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I get home at 5, and dinner's kind of ready.
How lucky you are to have met Barron
to this guy. Right? I know.
He's like the greatest guy ever.
What does Fred do for work?
Well, he has fished forever, but several years ago sold his boat, and he works for Gorelick Farms now. So he is delivering and whatnot and has crazy hours, and so he just gets home before us, but he always has since I met him. He's had different hours. Or whatever. So he just comes home and starts dinner.
So Freddie's going to do the Thanksgiving dinner for you.
Well, we're going away, so I don't know if we'll even do Thanksgiving dinner. We might cook up there, but it's a little kitchen in the timeshare. And
you might go for Chinese food instead?
We might just go, yeah. No, I don't know what we're going to eat, but we're just going to go for a hike.
Is that what the Jews do on Easter?
No, we do Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, the big Chinese thing.
And go to the movies. Chinese food.
Right. I was part of that tradition when I used to go with the Cohen girl. Yeah, for a couple of years. We used to go in Worcester. We used to go to, there was this great Chinese food place in Worcester. I forget the name of it, but we would
Jewish tradition, Joe.
It is.
I heard about a new...
No, am I wrong? Am I saying there's something... Is that not?
I'm not saying there's anything wrong, Joe.
I heard about a new Jewish tradition that sounded like a lot of fun, and it's called Mensch on a Bench. Have you seen that? It's supposed to be like Elf on a Shelf, and they had the inventor of it on a PBS show recently, and he wrote a whole little children's story about it. Because he lives in his family, his wife is Jewish and he's Christian, and they are raising their children Jewish, but they still want to celebrate some of the tradition, so he invented Mensch on a Bench, and it's very, very popular. And
are people still doing the Elf on the Shelf?
Elf on the Shelf, yeah,
we do.
Bananas.
You do. Yeah,
how much money that guy made?
See, I think we got out of that. There was
no Elf on the Shelf.
What do you mean got out of it, dude? That's a great one. That's so fun.
Yeah.
Did you never did it?
No. I always did.
She did.
I mean, I can only imagine because you're very creative.
Yeah. Our elf comes back on a Thanksgiving night unless the boys aren't behaving, and then we say, well, no wonder why he's not here.
You know what's funny about the Elf on the Shelf? The first couple days, everybody does these awesome things like create zip lines, and they like. You know, they hang them, you know, on trapeze. They're doing all this crazy stuff. Like, by 3 days before Christmas, the thing's been sitting in the same spot for a week and a half, and it's got dust growing on it. There's dust mites.
Yeah, we started the tradition of bringing him back way too early. I mean, Thanksgiving night, and I just did a post on this, actually, but Thanksgiving night means that you have, you know, whatever it is, 36 days.
You did a post
days.
On Elf on the Shelf?
No, just on Christmas and things that we're doing.
Too early.
Too early, like Santa at the mall on November 1st.
Versus, right, well, that's how I kind of feel about, like, I don't even put my tree up until around the December 7th. And then I feel, I start getting in the Christmas spirit. I don't, you know, and I like to have my tree up for another week or so afterwards. But
when do you have your Christmas shopping done by? And for you, the Hanukkah shopping?
Well, usually by like the 14th, just because I have to get everything in the mail. So for, because that was
the 14th?
The 14th of December.
So it's done by or you start?
No, it's usually, like I usually have a week, like December 7th through December 14th, because I have to get everything in the mail.
Toby.
So.
When you get the dreidels and stuff like that, when do you have them? When do you have all the dreidels locked
usually, up? I usually do it the day after Christmas when the prices go down, Joe, the year before.
Brilliant. Okay. Nicole.
Self-deprecating. Yes. I usually get like the things that we know we want to get done ahead of time, and I'm in pretty good shape. And then like the last week before Christmas is like all the extras, you know, like the.
So you generally you're in crisis mode the last week, nervous and stuff like that.
No, like to the contrary, that the last week is like everything that we wanted to get has been taken care of, and then like. Oh, now we can think about some extra filler things.
Oh, cool.
By the way, Joe, you're going to like what I got you.
Oh, thank you. Dreidel, 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 dreidel made of clay. Dreidel, 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 the dreidel I must play. Da, 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 da. No, so anyway, the I find if there's one, I've only done this a couple, there's only been two or three years of my life where I've gotten all my Christmas shopping done way early.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing like the feeling of having that pressure off of you. Am I right?
Yeah.
Like, if there's any kind of advice you can give someone, it's get it.
Well, then you can just relax and enjoy it more.
Totally.
And I love to bake around the holidays, too. So,
me too.
So if I have all my shopping done, if I have all my shopping done, then it gives me more time to cook. So, anyway.
Yeah, I know. You know something? I could never have enough time for baking. Don't throw stuff at me. Just throwing stuff at me.
You just left yourself wide open there.
I know. I'm sorry.
Wide open.
Well, you asked.
Yeah, I know.
So I have my two crazy daughters. I have one daughter that like doesn't eat. That's like having the hardest time to get her to eat. I think, you know, and like her lunchbox comes back and is like it's okay. Half the time it's full. So I'm trying to get cool things for her to eat. Interesting. They're still semi healthy. They love the food they love Trader Joe's.
Oh, that's
so
great.
I went up to Trader Joe's and I walked through with her, and she picked out a bunch of things that she ate, and I got word that she did eat, you know, some of the stuff that I got. But the point of this is not about my children. It's the point that while I was at Trader Joe's, they had an $8.99 bottle of Amaretto there.
Oh,
that I picked up.
Right,
I didn't even realize that they sold booze at Trader Joe's.
So, not at all of them.
Trader Joe's or Whole Foods?
Oh.
Trader Joe's?
At Trader Joe's.
Only some of them have licenses.
Well, the one in Denver does.
Yeah. Correct.
I don't know if it's
but the
does.
One in Saugus does
but
not.
But this,
not,
but oh, this okay. eight this $8.99 bottle of amaretto. If you like amaretto, for you know, you just have like.
I always need it for cooking.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So the amaretto. So the amaretto there for $8.99. I tried it for the first time last night, and if you put this in front of me or the Serrano or whatever the $27 bottle is, I would not know the difference. That's the point. If you're an amaretto guy, amaretto sour guy, whatever. Just throwing that out there.
Well, especially for cooking, you don't need to have
all your. I need that for my baking. Hello,
you don't need DiSorona.
Trader Joe's is a quality operation.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm gonna tell
not
you what,
just for the booze, Joe.
Well, I will tell you what is not quality at Trader
you make
Joe's.
Fun of me.
The fish, the frozen fish at Trader Joe's, is when I say beyond disgusting.
Okay.
Look at the frozen fish when you're in Trader Joe's.
Joe, you're in the fish business. You have a standard that you will accept. The Trader Joe's, wherever their locations are, the fish section is identical. You know, and I'm just saying it's what they offer. It's not what you're used to. You're used to getting stuff loaded, offloaded at your dock.
It had that gray tinge to it.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't
right.
want
we're,
it.
Right. We're yep. so spoiled because we have Turner's and Intershell and Steve Connolly's, and we get all our fresh fish so fresh here. It's really extraordinary. Yeah. It's really hard to go to any grocery store. It's really hard for me to even order fish now when I'm in Cincinnati. I just don't even order
fish. Why would you?
Right, I just don't. Well, no. I
mean, what do they have in Cincinnati? It's not, that's not Midwest, is it?
Rainbow trout and things like that.
Oh, that's don't eat trout. Do not eat trout.
That's what
from
I
the, those rivers with all the industrial sites have been pumping crap into those rivers? You can't eat trout. Trout's like poison.
No, you might as well
put Drano down your throat.
I know, it is now.
No, don't eat trout.
No, it is now. It didn't used to be that way.
He doesn't know, but
don't eat trout. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah, I
don't
promise. Eat trout. I promise. I won't eat trout.
No, but do they have a lot of cattle in
it's close enough to the Midwest. They have, you know, farms.
They have good restaurants there, or is it all chain restaurants?
Oh, no, they have beautiful restaurants there, especially Cincinnati proper. It's a big, huge urban city. I mean, it's a big, big urban city.
See, when I think of Cincinnati, this is what I think of. You know, in the list, like of, you know, of
thin air.
No, this is how I think of Cincinnati. I think of Detroit being the absolute worst, Newark, New Jersey, just under that. And then I think of Cincinnati.
Cincinnati is oftentimes called the Queen City of the Midwest because it was the entryway point into the rest of the into the West, and it has extraordinarily beautiful architecture. Most of the buildings were from 1860 on. They don't have a whole lot of really early period architecture, but they have extraordinarily beautiful architecture, many different styles, many beautiful cultural institutions. There were a lot of German and Italian people that settled there.
Everybody, let's go. We're all gonna get on the bus now.
Joey,
holiday vacation.
We know you love pro football. They play pro football there. They have the riverfront there, which has
the river.
They have tons of great restaurants and watering holes.
You sold me. Yeah. Let's go. Let's get on Expedia right now. We'll book our winter vacations. Who wants to go to Florida? Who wants to go to Naples, Florida? When you can go to Cincinnati?
Not me. Not anymore. Now that I know.
You kidding me? San Diego.
Nah. I had nothing but
going to Cincinnati, baby. Woohoo!
No, and it does not have the kind of depressed areas that Newark and Detroit have.
No.
No.
Okay.
Also,
not the same.
FYI, it's not the same.
Well, I'll
take
the word
for it. It's a beautiful city. It's truly
a
beautiful
city. Colgate or what?
P&G is right there.
Procter & Gamble is a huge employer out there.
Huge. And they have beautiful corporate offices right
downtown. So you can get soap real cheap there? Is that what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying is the economy. It's a lot of money. The economy is pretty strong there.
Oh, good.
Yes. It's a very well-to-do.
Well,
it's a fairly well-to-do area.
I'm happy about Cincinnati.
Okay. Okay.
They got beautiful, they got windsurfing there and schooners.
And no, but they have the river. Beautiful they have beaches. The river boats.
So my mom, Kim, I've had this discussion with you. Like, I am beside myself with this whole, the electricity and the my mom's house got, the guy came out yesterday.
Right. It just looks awesome. It looks tremendous.
The light bulbs. I don't know. Where do I start on this thing? Like this is honest
so
to God.
I'm so excited.
Because it's, you know, when there's those no-brainer things, and this is one of those no-brainer things. So
they do an energy.
I'm gonna start from the beginning. As if you have electricity or you have electricity bill, on your electricity bill, there's like five line items. One of them is like the transmission thing. You're paying for the juice that you use. One of these line items is the energy efficiency charge. Energy efficiency charge goes to fund programs like Mass Save and other programs. Mass Save is a program that gives money to companies that will come in and make your house. They will do an analysis and see what is the best way to spend money on your house to make it for you to save a ton of money.
Right.
And it costs nothing. It costs zero.
The audit
is completely free. So the guy comes out, and I'd heard about these programs before, and people were not receptive because They felt that they were, the light bulbs that they were going to replace were going to be either the ones that needed to warm up before they could be be used, or they were the squiggly ones that were going to be architecturally unpleasing inside the house. Well, neither of those is the case anymore. Just recently, they came up with new light bulbs that look like exactly like the light bulbs that are being replaced. And the light bulbs that they replaced in my mom's house, my mom had 65-watt floodlights. They replaced them with 10-watt floodlights that give off actually a little bit brighter than what they were. And they're not that green-tinted light. They're warm, beautiful light.
And they don't give off a lot of heat either.
They don't give off a lot of heat. There was over 35. Wow. So there was that. Wow. There was, my mother has nine heating zones with nine dial heat things. They're going to replace each one of those things with electronic thermostats that turn it down 8 degrees while you're sleeping, turn it back on just before you wake up, turn it down while you're away to work. They program them for you. They pay for the electrician to install them. They pay for the thing.
Wow, that's extraordinary.
For my mother's house, it was going to be $1,000 worth of work and fixtures for that part of it. Free, 100% free.
Wow, that's extraordinary.
The shower heads, energy efficient shower heads, everybody knows Gloucester has the most high water rates in the entire country. They tell me, I'm not positive about that, but whatever.
It's up there.
It's up there.
Yeah.
They're going to save you a ton of water on your water bill. All in all, the first, just the light bulbs alone are going to save my mother $270 a year. It cost her nothing.
Right, that's great.
And there's no visual impact that is negative. Right. There's nothing negative about it.
That's really tremendous.
I mean, tremendous. It was just, and then, like, while I'm going through the house with this guy, Kevin, and the guy is from Gloucester. I expected it to be some guy from Boston or whatever. I didn't
Cincinnati.
Know. It was from Cincinnati. Yeah. It was a guy from Gloucester that has a master's in energy home building, has a bachelor in environmental science. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is, all these people at this company are passionate about this stuff.
Really? Huh, interesting.
They show you where you're losing heat. They have the infrared heat gun, which shows you where the cold is streaming through the house and where they can attack it. There's programs that they'll put in front of you that the MassSave will pay 75% of the cost if you want to go further, like in insulation or anything. Mm-hmm. So they would do, for my mother's house, they said they would do $2,700 worth of insulating and stuff like that, and it would be $600 out of pocket. Now, out of that, the first year she would recoup that in energy savings.
Savings, wow.
But you don't. But you're not required to do anything that costs you any money at all.
Right,
so if you just went and you just got the light bulbs, and it's going to save you $275, and it's like an hour and a half of your time.
The light bulbs and the thermostats and that sort of thing.
The thermostats is more than the $270 of the savings. Right. So if you do those, it's going to bring you probably to close to, if you do everything, it's probably going to be like $1,000 a year.
And power strips too.
And the power strips that
they
eliminate phantom.
Right. Right.
I can't.
That was awesome.
I can't.
That's great.
When I say that there's never been an initiative that, like, I've brought to the to readership that I believe more in and can have more of an impact money wise on our readership, this is it. This is the one that, like, is so huge, and I'm so psyched about.
You've totally convinced me to do it. We did it like 3 or 4 years ago, but I know that technology has changed, and our house is a leaky old sieve, and we never did anything about it because it's just too expensive to, replace everything. But maybe with these financial incentives, perhaps.
Can any of you guys do you know of any of the play devil's advocate with me? Can you see anything that is wrong, that is not a good positive that comes out of this?
No. I guess my first reaction would be the whether it's a tough sell or not. I am a wicked sucker for things like that. Like, you know, stick to your guns, don't go for the extra, you know, just say no. Then I'm like, sure, yes. So if once they get into your house, they...
It is absolutely... I'm going to tell you, this guy, Kevin.
Yeah.
Sweetest kid, yeah, like crunchy kind of guy. Like,
not
green, like hardcore liberal kind of guy. Like, not going
to
give you the hard pitch.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know what I mean?
I can't think of any reason.
Right. No, because I could see that that would be an issue for someone. There is no obligation. This guy did not try. He put the information in front of me.
Yeah,
at the end, they give you.
Sell you. Right. Yeah.
He said, if you want to do this, we can come back and do this for you. If you don't want to, you're under no obligation at all. Yeah. We're not going to unscrew the light bulbs that we just put in.
No,
we're not
going to
take the shower heads out that we just put in, and we're not going to take the power strip back.
Yeah.
None of that.
That's great.
It's a no-brainer, honestly.
I think in the day and age, unfortunately, where everyone's kind of, you know, feeling like you're constantly getting hosed, or you're constantly finding the... you know, the scam and things. What a great, refreshing thing to have happen.
So far,
I've
been
really
scam.
Trying to take care of the environment and take care of you. That's awesome.
Right.
Yeah. Very, very cool. So, I don't know. I get a contact form on there if anyone wants to do it. I'm beside myself.
Through the contact information that you have, would we get the same person that you had, the local Gloucester?
I think so, because he's a Gloucester guy. Oh, it makes sense. You know, and... you could probably request it too. Yeah, you could say we want him.
Kevin's gonna be in hot demand. Whoever he is, watch out, Kevin.
He is gonna be in hot demand. He is gonna be in very hot.
All those
demand.
Lonely women sitting around wanting somebody to visit.
That's terrible. He's married. He's married to a woman that you know in the Para Research Building that didn't, I think her name is Denise or Diane, Denise Pescucci.
I know
she
the building, the, I don't know her.
Cape Ann Travel, I think it is.
Oh, okay.
He married her daughter, and they live over by Stage 4 Park. So, yeah, they're locals. Oh, so
great. That's nice to know.
I'm just so excited about it. I don't know.
Doesn't show your enthusiasm.
Nothing I do is not very exciting. So I don't know. Anything coming up for you guys that you're excited about?
Just Thanksgiving, my daughter coming home, the holidays, the whole thing. I'm very excited.
Just want to see if you like the gâteau.
Oh, yeah, we have to try the gâteau. The roux.
It's not a roux.
Toby has to correct me, even though I know it's not a roux. Yeah, Toby, what did you make here? We're going to break it out right now. Toby made something for us. It looks like hummus.
It does, but
it's a little like chicken salad from Henry's. So.
Yeah, it does. Okay, so what's everybody's thoughts on the roux?
The gâteau.
The gâteau.
The gâteau.
It's chewing it, but it was yummy.
It's delish.
So nice, Toby, why don't you explain what the gâteau is?
It's just a French Canadian pork spread that, as I said, a couple of weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, an older gentleman that I know was waxing on about how much he missed this pork spread that he made, that his mother used to make, and he would spread on his toast, you know, 4 or 5 mornings a week.
I did have some. And, it's good.
And so I set out to make some to surprise him. He doesn't know that.
Very nice.
Oh, that is
so
very
in the process of making it, I made enough to share, not just for him.
Well, I can really taste the nutmeg.
I like the rice thins, too. The rice thins are very nice.
Yeah.
Gluten-free rice thins.
Yeah, they are nice. I've never had
great,
that before.
They're great crackers.
Does anybody want another one here?
Would you like when are you going to give it to him? When's the big unveiling? Unveiling. You see him again?
Maybe I'll make a few.
Later today.
Do you want another one?
Yeah, please. I'd love another one.
Did you even have one, Joe?
Yeah, I did. I just ate one. It's delish.
A gâteau.
Would you like another one, Toby?
Sure.
So, we're going to be all crunching into that.
So I'm going to say my family's all off the Patriots game today, and for the first time in maybe 7.5 years, I have the whole house and the whole day to myself, and I don't even know what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to try not to clean all day long, maybe do some holiday shopping.
Well,
I might actually watch the game.
Let's all be
more
honest.
Than, like, one
let's all be honest. We know what Nicole's going to do.
Oh, come on. Seriously?
Let's
seriously,
all be honest.
No. She's
so
wrong.
So wrong.
It's going to have a wonderful day.
Now, will you drink by yourself at the house?
Oh, well, usually, yeah. Why are you so mean? Why are you doing that? Dear Lord, Mom, don't listen to him. No, actually, okay. Who posted in Topsfield, there's a, what did it say? It said, this is not, you know,
oh, yes.
No, there's something really great going on in Topsfield.
A lot of people going.
And, food and what?
Food and gift emporium. It is not a holiday fair.
It is not a holiday fair. That's what it said.
Not
but it looks really great.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I think we know a lot of people that are going to be participating. And Jessica Brand, friend of the dinner dealer.
Dinner dealer. She's such a lovely person with her beautiful baby Emerson.
Yes.
Yes.
Willowdale Estate. Redhead
is over there, I think.
So you going to go to that? Do you have any girlfriends that are going to go?
It's like 2:30 now. I might. I might go home and change my clothes. I might call my mom and see if she wants to go.
Oh, that's nice.
I might not go. I don't know. So don't ask me to take pictures or anything because I might not make it. But it was last night. I was like, that would be a great thing to do. So.
Yeah.
But then part of me feels like I should just sit home and enjoy the peace and quiet in my house. Decompress. It's been a long week.
Hey, can you do it? You want me to put some pressure on you?
Is this what you're going to do every Sunday?
Yeah. Well, it seems like it's a trend. So not only your awesome post that I look forward to every week of the children's activities, can you know how they just came out with the list of the that everybody rails against? Well, they don't rail against, but the top 10 most dangerous toys for children. They, every year,
yes, I've seen that.
I can think of a certain scooter.
Yeah,
the scooter, and then they come up with there was one that had like a big mallet was the top of the list this year. I remember I may have told this story before. My grandfather one year he gave us all hatchets. We were all 7 years old.
Machetes, nice.
Hatchets. Yeah. No, real hatchets,
like an axe,
little mini axe. Yeah, all the cousins, all boy cousins, all maniacs.
Where did your mom thought it was a good idea?
Yeah, all the aunts were horrified. All the aunts. It was my grandfather on my father's side because, you know, the masculine Captain Johansson side. So, my cousins, my cousin Larry and Joey, who were, you know, older than us, and my cousin Frankie, who was twice the size of
the
me.
The gift that keeps on giving.
And even my cousin Cosmo, who was 2 years younger than me, was bigger than me. But we all had hatchets.
That was easy.
Like, it's hatchets and BB guns. You know what I mean? It's like...
And this goes happy holidays, everyone. Nothing says holidays like hatchets and BB guns.
It's all part of my Neanderthal upbringing. Sure.
Can you just let us know how Finn is doing?
Wait.
We didn't get to. Do I get to ask the question?
Sorry.
Thank you for trying to get me out of it, though,
Kim. Can you come up with a list of go-to presents that are not as psychotic as the ones my grandfather decided to give me?
I will try to do that. I'm having trouble this year, though, with my my boys are at a funny age where they don't need. We have a very little house. I say this every time I do a podcast, but we don't have a lot of room for toys, so I'm kind of having trouble coming up with things to buy them. They're into their Under Armour and
okay. How about
sneakers,
this?
But I will find things for other kids. Though.
How about this special? I think what's really cool is instead of like getting all just junky toys, like get everybody a thing to a certain type of an event.
Oh yeah,
last year we did Red Sox tickets.
Yeah.
So I got to come up with something cool for that.
Very special, wasn't it?
Yeah. And this is on the time of year that last December my kids were able to skate with some of the Bruins at the TD Bank on the ice. And
oh, they're going
to
do that again?
I'm guessing. This is about when they released the dates, and then we went and skated at Fenway Park and did the sledding and whatnot. So
we were going to do that, and it turned into remember how cold it was? And they shut it down because it was bitterly cold.
We went on New Year's Eve, and it was a great thing. But so there's a lot happening now, you know, in the next few months that are great gifts. My kids don't know it, and they don't listen to your podcast, but we got a trip to New York City, so we already got tickets to skate at Rockefeller Center and to go to the Statue of Liberty. So we do that a couple of days after Christmas because it's hard. You can give them like overnight trips to like Great Wolf Lodge or whatever, but if they're not immediate enough, then it's really just a piece of paper that they forget about if you're going to go in March or April. So the key is to give them really great experiences that you can do within the next few weeks. So we are doing a lot of that.
Cool.
But
that sounds wonderful.
For sure.
That sounds wonderful. Yep.
Dreidels.
Don't worry, Joe.
Toby's going to hand me dreidels.
I got your gift, like I said, right after Christmas last year, so I got them all on discount.
The dreidels?
Your gifts. Your special gifts.
My gifts. My special gifts.
I'm not going to even wrap them. I'll probably just hand them to you.
My curiosity is piqued.
Now can I ask Nicole how Finn is doing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Joey doesn't give a shit.
I do care.
Yes,
I care.
He does.
No, he's doing very. Thank you very much. He's good. His stitches should come out tomorrow, I think. And
character.
It's a lot less scary than it was.
Character.
I don't get scared by much, Joey. It was pretty horrific when it happened.
He's got serious.
Much like
now.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's like Colin, the kid Colin, because you know he has the science nerd thing going for him.
Finn's got
the your son is going to have the street cred. You know, he's going to be like the masculine guy with the scar that's going to attract all the ladies.
We went to the you know,
look into the
Tuesday.
Vasectomy.
Yeah.
That. Joey's all big on giving the kids vasectomy.
Seriously, as a father of two girls, I wonder why.
It's all roundabout.
Yeah, that was God's way of going booga booga.
Seriously. Yeah. We went to the Bruins, and his wound was still, you know, pretty fresh and pretty gross. And six or seven people joked on the way in that, you know, you should get in for free. You know,
right.
5-year-old with a head wound like that at the Bruins game. He had his shirt on. And it was pretty excellent.
Why do you think it is? Okay, now we're going to go to this. Well, why do you think it is that there's so much, they rail against, they rail against football, but there's more, I think that they're probably... I don't know for sure, but it seems like hockey would be a little bit more dangerous.
Well, don't you think it's because football just covers a much broader region? Like, hockey's really popular in this area, but football is big
everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just very, very popular.
Yeah, but the place where it's most popular down south, they don't have hockey.
Football is most popular down south.
Yeah.
Right, so they don't have hockey to rail against. So
I'm having a Donna moment. Did you not understand? That's what Kim just said. That's what she just said.
That, it's true.
That people play football everywhere, so there's more people as you rally against it.
I'm gonna say this right now. That was completely fair. You're 100% right. That's spot on. I'm an imbecile.
No,
it's true. I mean, that was pretty dumb.
So get over it and let's move on.
Yes.
We were going to have Joey in as a guest speaker in my classroom to talk about your whether everybody gets a trophy or not, because I know exactly.
I was going to be a guest speaker.
Yeah, I told you. I sent you that email. So we just had a debate in class about whether or not all kids should get a trophy or just one. So I sent you the article, the picture, and then I did a post about it.
Right.
But
I read the post, but I don't remember you saying I was going to be a guest.
No, I was joking because I thought that you would be a great person to have in the classroom because you're not at all biased as to whether or not. I want you to come in and say the pussification of sports in my elementary school classroom. I thought that would be great.
Here's the thing. I'm not totally against everybody getting a trophy.
Yeah.
What I'm against is taking away the MVPs as well.
Right.
I'm not saying that I don't mind. I think a certificate or something like that, but I don't think a kid should get a big trophy and a pat on the back for showing up. Well, pat on the back, maybe, but I think like you should recognize, and there should be goals that people work towards.
I agree.
You know, I think like when people will say, oh well, you know, you should reward teamwork and stuff. I agree. You should reward, but I think if there's if everybody knows all they have to do is show up and they're gonna get, and there's no incentive to go above and beyond, then I feel like. That's
one of the fondest memories I have along those lines when I played varsity football was that if you won the game, the coach awarded the team ball to one individual who mm-hmm. made that game special.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a special trophy.
I agree.
Right.
You know, and I don't think that sort of tradition should end ever.
According to some people.
Well, I understand.
Yeah. There you go.
That's what my students decided, that everybody should get something for participating, especially at that age.
Well, that's fun.
But that it's okay to acknowledge, you know, people who either who are the best, but or just who try really, really hard and make a big
difference. Listen, I was not the best. I was, as we say every week, I was a terrible, terrible athlete. I was an okay tennis player, but I got the coach's award for tennis for being the most supportive of the team and you know, just like I was kind of like the cheerleader that, you know, like really into it and stuff like that, even though I was out of 10 players I was probably the sixth man.
I think a very worthwhile award too.
What I'm saying is that it doesn't have to be just
on skill.
You know, there's also a reward to strive for being a good teammate.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, right, and captains aren't always the best players. They're the ones who rally the team. And,
leadership skills.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, coming up on an hour, this is another Gloucestercast. Anybody, you have anything to add in closing? I have one thing to add.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Mm. Thank you, Kim. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Another Gloucestercast in the books. Boom!